Hello and welcome to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. My name is Chrissy Champagne, and today I wanted to tell you a story about a woman named Susan Walters, a survival story that you are never going to forget. It takes an average of 7 attempts for a survivor to leave their abuser and stay separated. Leaving is the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship. Each day in the U.S., 3 women are murdered by a current or former intimate partner. Once I heard Susan's story, I couldn't get her out of my head. And that's a good thing because I always keep the mantra in my head, I'm not going to go out like that. And that usually helps me get through almost everything in life. Susan took that mantra to heart, and she kicked ass while doing it. It's 1988. Susan Walters is 33 years old, absolutely killing it in her career as an emergency room nurse at Providence Portland Medical Center. She's got lots of close friends, loves her family. The only thing missing is romance. At this point, she allows her mother and sister to put a personal ad in the newspaper. The ad read, SWF, 33, overweight, but not over life. Adventurous, active, healthcare professional. That is the most adorable ad ever. Through this ad, Susan meets Mike Kuhnhausen. Funny, energetic, everything she was looking for in a partner. They talked for hours upon hours before ever meeting, falling in love, and eloping to Reno in 1989. Soon after eloping, reality kicks in hardcore. Mike, Mr. Love Bomber, definitely is not the same person that Susan met in the beginning. He's depressed. He never leaves the house. He couldn't hold a job. He was definitely not adventurous. 10 years in, Susan was in hell. She went through so many ups and downs, and at this point, Mike is now becoming abusive and insulting her. Susan is just exhausted by not only her relationship, but her job. She has to deal with Mike's alcoholism, his abusiveness. Susan ends up staying in this relationship for 17 years, but she finally asks for a separation. Mike agrees, and he moves out of their home and moves in with his father. At this point, Mike has a job as an adult video store janitor. So, yeah, Mike is working at a porn shop, cleaning up after people who frequent the porn shop. And Mike couldn't even keep that job. Mike lost that job pretty quickly. So Susan is actually letting him come over to the house still. They're remaining cordial, and they had a few cats together. So every now and then, Mike would still come over to visit. She thought everything was pretty much fine at this point. September 6, 2006. Susan finishes work, stops in to get a haircut at her favorite hair salon, wants a little bit of me time, treat yourself. She picks up an Oprah magazine while she's waiting for the appointment to begin, and in an article, she reads the words, "I will not live an unlived life. I will not live in fear." Susan walks into the door of her home after a long day, and she notices that there is a note from Mike on the counter. The note reads, "Sue, haven't been sleeping, had to get away, went to the beach, love me." Susan puts the note down, starts to walk through the house, headed towards her bedroom so that she can change, and she starts to get that gut feeling that something isn't right. Everything around her feels uneasy. The first thing that she notices is that her curtains are closed, and Susan never leaves her curtains closed because she comes home from work pretty late, wants a little daylight coming in. As she's assessing this situation right now, a man comes out from behind the door. 5'9", 190 pounds, with long gray hair. He's wearing yellow rubber dishwashing gloves and a claw hammer in one hand. He starts swinging at Susan, immediately hitting her in the face with the hammer. She doesn't get knocked out. Susan has some skills that she learned in the ER as a nurse. She's used to having people fight back with her. She's used to having her patients hit her. She's had to hold people down. So she knows that she's got to do something about this situation. And what she does is one of the most spectacular things that I've always kept in my head after hearing this story. And this is what I mean by keeping you paranoid in the best possible way. If you are ever in this situation, which hopefully not, you will remember Susan's story, and this is going to kick in. Susan starts to get closer to him. She decides that now she should wrap herself around his body. Susan now has the upper hand. He won't be able to swing hard enough if she's tight and close to him. This is the point when the man says the only words that he will ever say to Susan. He says, "You're strong." I know for damn sure if I'm in that situation, there's this huge man up against me. I had no idea it was about to happen, and he tells me that I'm strong. Yeah, I'm going to be able to use that as my motivation to kick his ass. And that's exactly what Susan starts to do. She kicks, she punches, she gets him to the ground, she gets the hammer away from him, and then she begins hitting him in the head with the hammer, with the claw side. And as she's doing that, she's screaming, "Who sent you?" I mean, that's some badass bitch energy right there. It's like something out of a superhero movie. She wraps her hands around his neck as hard as she could. His face is turning purple, and then it's starting to turn blue. And this is when she lets go and she runs to the front door. He gets up and he tackles her. So now he's got her again, and this time he throws her against the wall. He starts punching her in the face. This is when Susan realizes that she's about to die. So she starts biting him, and she doesn't bite him because she wants to get free. At this point, her brain is telling her, bite him so that you can leave a mark, so that when the police get to her house and they find her body, they will know when they find this man at some point that the bite marks match Susan. So at this point, she's not even fighting for her life anymore. She's fighting for her murder to be solved. Susan bit through his jeans, straight through his genitals, so hard that she left a mark. She's also at this point digging through his pockets whenever she can get a grasp, and she's digging into his pockets and throwing whatever is in his pockets through her house. She's thinking, you know what? If they can't figure out who killed me because of the bite marks, I'm gonna throw stuff around so someone finds something of his laying on my floor. She climbs on top of him, swings around him, and gets him in a chokehold. He tries to flip her over his shoulder, and she keeps the chokehold on his neck. She jumps up, grabs the hammer, and runs. Runs to the neighbor, calls 911. As the neighbor has the 911 operator on the phone, the operator asks, does she need an ambulance? Susan looks at her neighbor and says, no, I'm fine. I'm a nurse, but send one for him because I think he's dead. Susan is rushed back to the exact same ER that she just left a couple hours earlier. She's rushed right back to her job. As Susan lays in the ER, she realizes that the police have found the body of Edward Haffey. Along with Edward Haffey's body, police find rubber gloves, a book bag containing diabetes pills, and a planner. The planner had an entry that said, "Call Mike," written a week earlier. Edward Haffey and Mike Kuhnhausen work together at the porn shop. Susan learns that the man is dead on arrival. And then Susan finds out that her husband planned this murder. Mike hired Ed for $50,000. Mike wanted Susan's life insurance and her home so he could sell it before she filed for divorce. The home was paid off and worth over $350,000. On August 30th, 2007, Mike Kuhnhausen goes on trial and pleads guilty to soliciting a murder for hire plot. He is sentenced to 7 years in prison. Susan was given the chance to speak to him in court. "I am damaged. I am damaged by what you've done to me, but I am not destroyed. You sought out people with criminal records, people with substance abuse issues, desperate enough to do desperate things for money. Who better to do what you were too coward to do yourself? You are a disgusting and a wimp. If I wanted you dead, you'd better believe I'd have the balls to do it myself." This is the part where I feel like we could just like all stand up and just start clapping and screaming and tearing up for Susan. But then I also want to be screaming for Susan because 7 years, seven. Mike Kuhnhausen is now in prison, but Susan Walters is now living in a prison of her own. She becomes a very paranoid person. She lives with PTSD. She buys herself a gun. She takes classes on how to use that gun. She is so paranoid inside of her own home that she would put gravel all around the house so that she could hear if anybody was approaching her home. Susan is also feeling incredible guilt about Edward Haffey. Susan said in an interview, "I didn't choose my attacker's death for him. I chose my life." And this led to Susan feeling extreme guilt about taking someone else's life. She talks about how she feels horrible and the fact that she was even put in this position to take another person's life. Susan received a letter from Edward Haffey's family, and they wanted to let her know that they did not hold any malice towards her. The letter reads, "Bill's nephew was loved by his family as a child. However, all of his unlawful actions when he was grown deeply disturbed our family. There was no excuse for his illegal and dreadful deeds, and although this was a terrible thing that happened, no one in this family has any hard feelings towards you. You did what you were forced to do, and in doing so, you spared many from the same trauma you experienced." Michael Kuhnhausen died of cancer 92 days before his release on Friday the 13th, June 2014. Susan has stated in interviews that she did feel a sense of relief about Mike's death. She stated that she felt a great deal of sadness, not about his death, but about the life that he could have lived. Being this hero for her own life is one of the greatest parts of this story, but the fact that this woman still had forgiveness in her heart and still could see the type of person this man could be, that takes it all. Today, Susan is a victim advocate. She continued to work at the ER as a nurse, and then she continued to work for victims and helped create a crime victim portal. Susan had difficulty with post-conviction. She says that pre-conviction, she had a ton of support from the lawyers, the police, the judge. But after Mike was sentenced, Susan found it really difficult. So she created a way for victims to feel safer. Along with the Oregon Stakeholders and Code for America, there is an app available 24/7 for victims to get info and ask questions. Victim rights are critical to take into account. For example, Susan believed that when Mike was about to be released, that she would have to move on, get another home, and get out of town, and she would need advance notice. This is now a wonderful resource to help answer questions and negotiate answers for victims. Susan's goal, as always, is to make this journey easier for anyone else. Hopefully, if Susan's story taught you anything, it's this. Always fight back. Always take Oprah's advice and never let them take you out like that. Fight through those jeans. I'll see you again next week for another episode of Residue. Stay paranoid.